because of demands on your time, because life happens. So we never want you to come to Grace and not be given an opportunity to still yourself before the Lord and to connect with Him. This platform area is open as an altar for those of you who would like to come and pray. And some of you come from traditions where that is what you do. So if you're from that tradition, we invite you to do that. Come and pray here at the platform area, the altar area. You're welcome to do that. If not, you can just stay where you are and just make that little space where you are a place of prayer. If you haven't prayed in a while, no judgment here, no shame. But you haven't prayed in a while, maybe here's a suggestion on how to start. Start by thanking the Lord for what He's given you. You're in good health. You have a sound mind. We're not going to take a vote on that, but you probably have a sound mind. And you're here. So why not thank the Lord for that? Next, maybe there's someone you know who's struggling today, someone who really could use a touch from the Lord, way more than you could. Why not just lift their name up before the Lord and say, Lord, I pray for, fill in the blank. Would you please bless them and touch them today in this area, whatever that area might be. It might be financial, it might be health, it might be relational. Don't know, but just fill that in and take their name before the Lord. And now I know you have some requests on your heart and your mind. There's some things that you want to take before the Lord. So I wonder if you would just take those before the Lord right now. Just say, Lord, it's me, and boy, I sure could use some help with whatever. Or could you just really please bless me in this particular way? Whatever it is. Just talk to Him like He's your Heavenly Father, because guess what? He is. So, just talk to Him. And now finally, I would ask you to consider this, if you would. If you don't know Christ personally, maybe you know about Him and you can answer the Jeopardy questions and all that kind of stuff, but you really don't know the Lord personally. Why not right there where you sit? Reach out to Him and talk to Him. And say, Lord, you know, I know a lot about You. But I will tell you, just be honest with Him. You know, I feel distant from You. I feel like there's a gap between me and You. And I really don't want that gap anymore. So, Lord, would You please forgive me of my sins? Holy Spirit, would You please just come and invade my life as I, Jesus, surrender my life to You. Forgive me and be my Lord. And change my life forever. If you would, I just challenge you to pray that. And now finally, some of you are here this morning with some really serious questions on your heart and your mind. In a spirit of prayer, let me just say this to you. The presence of questions doesn't mean the absence of faith. You can be here today with questions about how God governs His universe, why certain things happen, why your life hasn't turned out any better, why your marriage is the way it is. You can be here with those questions. That is legitimate. And you can still have faith that changes your life. If you're working through that this morning, just ask the Lord to help you. I promise you He will. He loves you that much. He really will help you. Well, Father, thank You for this time of prayer, to push the pause button, to connect with You, because really it's all about You. It's not about anything else. So thank You for letting us do that. And Father, if there are some here today who are still struggling with the whole issue of the gospel, and do they know you or do they not? Are you real or are you not? Lord, I pray you would speak to them in a way that they need to hear so their life will be changed. Father, if there are some people in here carrying a bunch of shame and guilt and regret and self-condemnation, Lord, you don't put that on people. The world puts that on people. So help them dump that today. Man, they can throw that on you and you'll take it, because that's not how you deal with your people. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would take that. But Lord, if there's people here today who think that they really don't need a Savior, their life is just good enough, Holy Spirit, we ask that you do what you've done for 10,000 years. Convict them of their sin and bring them to repentance. Father, we'll thank you for all the work you do in our hearts and our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. May we are so glad that you're here. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. Absolutely. And the gang is growing. We have a lot of Grace Kids today. Hello. How are y'all? Everybody who is not applauding and smiling gets to go help. Absolutely. They're doing great. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we started last week series through the Gospel of John. Just to give you a little review, there are four Gospels in the Bible. No, it's not John, Paul, George, and Ringo, okay? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels because they're similar. They cover the same general events of Jesus' life and what he did and all that. John is a little different. John is a gospel written by the beloved disciple or apostle and is really intended for one reason. It's for you to get to know Jesus in the way he wants to be known, which is personally. So if you're here today and you're struggling with who Jesus is and why should I know him and frankly, why should I care? John's a great book for you because it is all about John making Jesus known to readers who don't know him and trying to show him how much he loves and cares for him. And so we started last week looking at miracles, and we read a verse toward the end of the book of John that said, in all these things Jesus did, but many more that could not be written in this book. And these were written so you might believe. Every miracle we talk about, and there's seven, were written so you would be convinced that Jesus is the Son of God and that he loves you and that he cares for you. And so we're in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54 today. And this is the second miracle in the book of John. Last week, we talked about turning water into wine. I think that's on the website. You can log on and listen to that if you want to. Today is interesting, and I think we'll find some connections with this miracle as well. So verse 46, it starts by saying this. So he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water to wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him, asked him to come down to heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Now, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe." The official said to him, "Sir, just please come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son is going to live." The man, believing the word that Jesus spoke to him, went on his way. Now he was going down to Capernaum. His servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked, "About what hour did he begin to get better?" And they said to him, "Yesterday about the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that it was at that hour that Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. All right, so here's the story. Jesus had been in Cana of Galilee. We talked about that last week. That's where he turned the water into wine. Capernaum is about 25 miles from Cana, and it's a rough walk. That's typically how they traveled back then. So it was a pretty rough walk. So it was about a day and a half, maybe 2-day trip, and it wasn't easy. It was a very hard walk. The roads were bad. It was dangerous. It wasn't really good. So this nobleman, who was probably Jewish, though we're not told, he's probably a Jewish fella, very wealthy, heard that Jesus was back in the area. And now this was just a few days after turning the water to wine. Good news traveled fast. Now, how many of y'all know in today's culture, bad news travels fast? Y'all know that? I mean, you know, let something great happen and you have to dig for it. I mean, let something good happen in our community, nobody's going to say anything about it. Let something bad happen, they're going to stand up on the bridge and say, with a sign, let me tell you what Joe did. Right? But let something great happen and it doesn't travel. But back then it was a little different. You know, they didn't have all the social media, obviously, and all that. So when this miracle happened at Cana of Galilee, word began to spread about this rabbi named Jesus. So this nobleman's son is really sick. He's sick to the point of death. He hears Jesus is back in the area. It's a 25-mile walk. So it was a hard walk. It was a dangerous walk. People died on that road. If you go back and research it, it was not a safe trip between Capernaum and Cana. But desperate times demand desperate measures. That is not a weakness. Many of you know I was a military chaplain. And I was, during the Gulf Wars, I helped deploy really thousands of troops out of Moody Air Force Base to the war zone. And how many of you have heard the old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes? Y'all ever heard that? I'm going to tell you, it's pretty true. And so as we were deploying the troops, it was amazing. We would have this area set up, and those of you who've been in the military know what I'm talking about. You have a deployment line, and you have, you know, the legal people there. You have the medical people there. You have, all the transportation people there. You have people there to write out your will. You have all that kind of stuff just down this line. Well, toward the end, they put the chaplains. And so we're sort of down here at the end, and they're all coming down. And it was amazing during that time how many people would say, chaplain, can I talk to you? And I'd, absolutely. And we'd start talking, man, I left my faith, and I'm scared I'm going to get over there and die. And I believe God's about to have my six. And I mean, this is just, and this crisis of being put in that situation reawakened their faith. And some of them felt a lot of shame about that. And man, it was my delight to tell them, whoa, 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 wait a minute. God doesn't want to pay you back. He wants to get you back. So if it takes you having to go deploy to war to get your heart back toward him, guess what? He is fine with that. And so they would come down. Man, we would pray for them. And many of them would make recommitments to the Lord. And some of them come to know the Lord for the first time. And so there's just no shame. And if you hit desperate times, to pray. Because here's what I've heard more than once. People hit desperate times in their life and they're like, well, I'm not running to God. I haven't run to him any time before. I'm not running to him now. There's just no way I'm running to the Lord now. How do you know God didn't orchestrate that very situation, that very circumstance, to get your attention so you would pray again? And so, but there's something within us as humans, particularly as men. Ladies, y'all can take a nap for a minute. There's something within us as men that when we get in desperate times, we want to work harder, try harder, be more independent. We want to fix it. Guys, are you with me? We want to fix it. And if we can't fix it, obviously it can't be fixed, and it's a mystery of the ages. Amen? Right? Right? Because if I can't come up with the answer to the question, obviously it's a profound existential mystery. And guess what? Nobody's going to figure it out forever. Right? And so we get to that point, and what the Lord's calling us to do is to depend on him. There's nothing shameful when your child is laying there sick to cry out to God. Many of you know Carson went through some medical stuff this past week. I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm going to anyway. His lungs started to collapse. And we're going through the process. I won't go blow by blow, but we're in the hospital on Wednesday. Then eventually the tube gets put in on Thursday into his chest. I was praying. I was praying for the doctor. I was praying for the nurses. I was praying for everybody in there. I mean, if anything walked by, I prayed for them. I mean, I didn't care. If there was anybody in that room, I was praying. Because that was my boy laying on that gurney, getting that tube stuck in his chest. It's different when it's your son. It's a little bit different when it's mine. Isn't that true? Y'all know there's a little saying in ministry, any surgery done on you is minor, any surgery done on me is major. All right? Now you put your kid in there, and it changes the whole discussion. I was praying. I prayed for the doctor before he cut on him. I grabbed him. I said, we're going to pray. And luckily, it's Dick Feidelman. Dick attends here when he can. And so Dick was very eager to pray, and the nurse was very eager to pray, and we got through it fine. But I'm going to tell you, for 2 days, I was absolutely crazy. I'm glad y'all didn't call me, because I probably would have been ugly, because I was absolutely going nuts, because that was my boy. You see, he's doing great. He's here somewhere. Where are you, Carson? Yeah, there he is. He's over there. Yeah. He's over there. Hey, Carson. But here's the deal. I relate to this dad. Because this dad's son was to the point of death. Carson wasn't near that. But this boy was. You know what his, know what he did? He said, desperate times demand desperate measures. I will walk a dangerous road for 25 miles. If I get robbed, if I get stoned, if I get killed, I don't care. There's Jesus up there who turned water into wine. If he can turn water into wine, that's a pretty good trick. Hello, that's never been normal, right? And so if he can do that, he can touch my son and heal him. That's the kind of miracle we need. So he was willing to take that risk, make that journey for the Lord to connect with him. Second thing, verse 48, scripture says, so Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. John 6:44 says, you must come to the Lord and believe that he is, for him to reward you. There is a mandate about belief if you're expecting to see anything from the Lord. God will do whatever it takes to get you paying attention to him. Also in John, scripture says that we did not seek him, but he sought us. If you're here today and you've wandered away from the Lord or never known the Lord at all, I've got great news for you. God's after you. He's got your address, he knows your email, and he's after you. God will orchestrate situations and circumstances to get your attention. God will send people in your path and in your way, so in the day that you stand before him, you will be without excuse. God loves you that much that he will do everything he can to get you to open your eyes and look to him, because he cares about you. And so here's what happened. Jesus says to this guy, okay, I get it. Unless I do something miraculous, you may not believe. Remember what the signs are about? The seven signs in John are about people believing. That's what it's about. It's about you coming to faith in Christ. So I want to ask you, what do you need to see today? What do you need God to do in your life today for you to begin to believe? I mean, to believe at a level deeper than you've ever believed before. Now, some of you have believed at an academic level, and everybody in this room is smarter than me, so I'm sure that's more profound. So you believed at an academic level. You sort of know the Trinity, and you got Jesus in Bethlehem, and you know, you sort of know all that stuff, and the resurrection's Easter. It's not the bunny, it's Jesus. You got all that down, right? And so you sort of have some academic understanding of the rudiments of the faith, and you have an academic belief. But I want to ask you something. What does God need to do to drill that down deeper so that faith becomes transformational and your life changes radically? You move from darkness to light. You move from blindness to sight. You can now hear the voice of God, hear the Spirit of God, and be led by the Spirit of God to do the things of God in miraculous, powerful ways. What do you need to happen in your life for you to wake up to that level and make that transformation? I would say to you that if you open your heart and mind to Christ and ask him to speak to you in those ways, he absolutely will. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you enough to show himself to you. I mean, you can't go to the Lord. You can't trick him. I mean, have you ever prayed and tried to trick God? Have you ever done that? This means yes. This means no. This means I'm not even going to move. Right? Yeah, sure you have. I used to trick God. I just tried to do this one all the time, usually before a football game. Right? It would be before, because I was a little guy. I was 135 pounds at the time, and I was a little guy. And I used to pray all the time. You know, team would come out, all big guys, and I would pray, Lord, I don't want to die. I want to win, and I want to play good. So here's my deal. And I used to pray this. Lord, here's my deal. I will become the first Baptist monk. I was Baptist at the time. I couldn't read. I'm sorry. But anyways, I'll become the first Baptist monk. And I would cut all these deals with the Lord, right? Do you think he heard any of that? Not impressed. But how many times have we tried to bargain with God? Here's how it looks for grown-ups, right? I was an adolescent at the time. Here's how grown-ups do it. God, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. If you'll do this, then I'll get back in church. if you do this, then I'll start to give. If you do this, I'll start to see. It's the same thing in trying to bargain with God as an adolescent. We try to bargain with God as adults. God, if you do this, I'll do this. God's not fooled. God, give me the Powerball number, and I will go to church every Sunday. Yeah, until you buy your boat. Right? God's not fooled. That's not what this is. This was a man coming who sincerely needed something from the Lord and who sincerely wanted to believe. And so here's what Jesus said. You need to see a sign so you can believe. That's okay. I'll give you a sign. Your son's healed already. Before you even get home, I don't even have to see him. I'm going to heal him from a distance. I'm going to do a remote healing from right here. Boom, bam. He's better. Some of you need God to touch you in some way. I don't know what that is, and I don't have the power to touch you in that way. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit can touch you in that way. And in just a minute, we're going to pray and be done. And I'm going to give you a chance to ask the Lord, honestly, Lord, I really want to believe. I really want to move deeper with you. Would you please touch me in the way that I need so I can move deeper? I'm going to give you a chance to pray that in just a few minutes. And I just truly believe that the God of heaven loves you so much that he will touch you at that point. He really, truly will. Well, the next thing that you see, they need to see signs and wonders. And then in verse 50, you see this. It said, Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. You have to believe. You have to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says that you have to come to the Lord believing that he is. You have to believe. Belief, again, doesn't mean there isn't questions. You know, we've come, isn't it interesting? Haven't we sort of come to the place in our culture, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I just see this on a lot of different fronts, and perhaps you do. It's either you're with me or you're against me. You're either 100% here or 100% there. There's no more rational dialogue and discussion. There's no more coming together. Okay, you have a little bit different opinion here, but we agree here. We can walk together. It's like you're either 1,000% like me or I don't want anything to do with you. That isn't rational, and I'll tell you why. Because none of us have it all right. Now, all of you have it more right than me. I'm sure of that. Really, I am. I concede that. But even you don't have it all right. I certainly don't have it all right. So isn't it then reasonable that we have to sort of give and take? But so you're going to have some questions, and you're going to have some doubts, but you got to believe that God is. That's what Hebrews says. And a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can still have your questions, but you have to believe that he is. You have to believe there is a God. You can't pray to an empty sky. That doesn't make any sense. So you have to believe that he is, and you have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And he is. So if you're here today and you're needing God to speak to you and touch you or do something amazing in your life, you have to believe that there is a God. And you're sitting, and some of you, in a room this big, and our crowd's very diverse, and I love it, man. Listen, I pray for more and more diverse, you know, socioeconomic levels, educational levels. I mean, we run the gamut here, and that's why I love Grace so much. Here's the deal. Some of you are having academic questions if God even is. Now, you would never articulate it to your friends because you would be ostracized. Oh, did you hear what Sally said? Oh, we're not inviting her over for Christmas. Right? Oh, she doesn't get to come over. She questioned if there was a God. Some of you are sitting here right now and question that. You do. You would never do it publicly because it's not polite in the South. Well, it is not, and it gets tea dumped on your lap at lunch, right? If you say that to the waitress, you know. But you question sometimes, is there a God? Challenge him. Ask him to prove himself. And then go on an academic study. Because you will end up where every other person with questions has ended up. Here's the good news. God will meet you at the point of your question. He will walk you through your journey. And at the end, listen, I love you today. And I want to say this as kind as I can. You will bend a knee and declare Jesus Lord. That's at the end of every journey people go on with those questions. So if you have those questions today, jump on the journey. I challenge you to jump on the journey and ask the Lord to meet you and walk with you to the point of that journey. You have to believe. If you're here today and you need to see something great of God, you have to believe. If you don't believe, ask Him to help you believe. How many of you ever prayed that honestly with the Lord? Have you ever prayed that honestly with the Lord? Said, Lord, you know, but help my unbelief. Help my doubts. Help my questions. Have you prayed that honestly with the Lord? You really get to know the Lord at a deeper level when you're honest with Him about your questions and your doubts. That's when the Holy Spirit drills down and takes the Word and applies it at a deeper level. When you're honest about those questions. Why did my son get sick? Why did my marriage end? Why did my job play out? Why did I lose my child? Why did my spouse walk out? Whatever it might be. When you come to the place where you ask those deeper questions, God meets you there and He begins to fill you with satisfaction. Maybe not all the answers. You ready for this? The ultimate satisfaction in that journey is His presence in your life. When you walk through that journey, the ultimate satisfaction is knowing His presence in your life. And then finally, in verses 51 through 54, we see that the healing actually took place. The dad said, there's desperate times. It means desperate measures. Jesus said, you're going to need to see something if you're going to believe. And oh, by the way, I love you enough to do it. The guy believed. And what happened? Jesus healed his son. It was a remote healing. Now, a lot of you guys see this stuff on TV. I do too, where people have to walk an aisle and all that kind of stuff. This proves that Jesus doesn't need an aisle. Can I get an amen? Jesus doesn't need you to walk an aisle. Right? We don't need to set up a tent. Okay? We don't need to rent out go to Jacksonville, rent out the Coliseum. Right? If I did that, I'd be broke and there'd be three of us, me and Renee and Madison would probably drive down for that one. Alright, so that would be about it. Alright, so we don't need that. We just gotta be honest and transparent with the Lord. And when we are, that frees God to move in power in our lives. I gotta tell you. I've moved into that probably stronger in the last several months than before, because there are some questions I have that I can't answer. There are some situations that I'm facing I can't fix. I have really smart friends. I have really smart people around me, and they can't fix it. So I admit my intellectual deficiency, but they're real smart, and they can't fix it. And so what it does for me is it drives me to my knees and says, okay, Lord, I know what 20 years look like down here if this doesn't get fixed today, and I can't fix it. And so I pray. And God will come through somehow and in some way. As we pray and close, two things you need to know today. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. No matter what you did yesterday, what you did last year, what you're planning to do next week, God knew all that before you were born. He's not surprised. He's not shocked. He loves you. And second thing, listen, He will show Himself to you in the way that you need to draw you closer to Him. More than anything in the world, He wants a relationship with you. So be honest, believe, and God will draw you closer. I promise you He will. Pray with me. If you're here today, and I'm just going to ask you to be honest, there's something that's attractive to the Lord, and that is an honest, open heart. God draws near an honest heart. So if you're here today, and you would say, you know what, Terry? I have questions. And I'm facing circumstances that I need help with. I'm facing situations that I need help with. Would you, Lord, would you just please speak to me in that way? If that's you today, just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. I have some situations, circumstances. Okay, great. How many of you here would be honest enough to say you have some intellectual questions about your faith that you need God to answer? Just lift up your hand. I have some intellectual questions about my faith. Good. Several of you. Good. God draws near an honest heart. that is great. There's complete freedom here, to be honest. Now, how many of you would say today, Lord, I need a miracle in my life. I need you to do something big in my life in this area, and I'm asking you, please, to do something big in my life in a miraculous way. Just lift up your hand if you're asking the Lord for that today. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. Just so I know who to pray for. Well, Father, this is a sort of a heavy subject. It's in your word, and we thank you for your word because it's truth. Father, you've seen the hands, and more importantly, you've seen the hearts of everybody in this room. You know the intellectual questions that are there. You know the moral struggles that are there. You know, Father, the situations and circumstances and the life situations that are there that make things messy and cause a bunch of questions and doubts. But Father, here's what we know. You are a big, powerful, all-consuming God. And you can touch people at the point of their question and need. And so, Father, we pray now in Jesus' name that you would move in power on the hearts and the minds of these your people. Lord, may transformation begin to happen according to your will. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.